You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's bring in Booger McFarland, the ESPN NFL analyst and part of ESPN's college football and NFL coverage. Booger, good to see you. How are you?
I'm outstanding, DP. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I'm trying to understand your former coach Tony Dungy's logic. He said that Tom Brady is the sixth toughest quarterback that he had to face here. Now, I don't know if I'm missing out on something because he is talking about quarterbacks that have mobility, but he includes Peyton Manning in there. And Booger, Peyton Manning doesn't have mobility here. So does Tony really think that Tom Brady is the sixth toughest quarterback to defend?
Well, I think that's a question that you probably have to ask TD. TD probably has his reasons for that. You know, Tom being in New England for 20 years, you hate to use the term system quarterback, DP, but he understood that system so well and he played to it. And I guarantee you, if you ask Tony, playing that system over and over, you got used to it. You knew what the checks were. You knew where the ball was going to go. You knew how Tom Brady was going to play. So maybe that lends to Tony saying, okay, I don't know if he's that difficult to prepare for because I know exactly what he's going to do. The key to it is just, can we go out and execute and stop it?
Okay. Would you rather face Brady or Manning at their peak?
Wow. Probably Tom Brady, because Peyton Manning did so much at the line of scrimmage. Not that Tom doesn't, but Manning called the game pretty much from the line. Tom Brady was more conventional. So he was huddle, come to the line. He may check every now and then, but you were going to get the game in rhythm. Peyton Manning was so much out of rhythm because as a defensive lineman, he made you get on the ball and just stand there and wait while he's Omaha and rabbit and ice cream and all the stuff that he's saying. Like, I got to get out in the stance and wait, okay? Like, I can't just catch a couple of deep breaths. Whereas with Brady, when Brady's in the huddle, man, I can grab some water. I can tuck my shirt in. I can make sure that my butt crack's not showing. Like, I can do all the things that defensive linemen do.
But what is it about Brady in the final 2 minutes of a game that he's just different than almost any quarterback we've ever seen?
He's got ice water in his veins, DP. And the great ones look forward to the challenge of having that opportunity in the final 2 minutes. You know, some quarterbacks can relish the opportunity. Some can perform in the opportunity. It's almost as if Brady says, okay, I'm going to prepare for the rest of the game. But my mindset is always pointing to, I want the ball in my hands under 2 minutes. We're down four. We need a touchdown. I want that opportunity, because the great ones know that in order to become great, you have to perform in those moments. Like, anybody can do it in the first quarter when the game's not on the line. But if you want to be considered one of the great ones, you have to do it. It's kind of like in basketball. We look at LeBron, Kobe, all the great ones differently when they hit the game winners. Like, you can't be considered a great one until you hit, it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you hit the shot. Then we can put you in a different category where it's no different than in football. You got to take that team down the field and score in that drive. Like, you got to perform in a game seven in baseball. It's like our memory doesn't put you in stone or concrete until you do it in those moments.
What's the craziest thing you've ever heard at the line of scrimmage?
Probably was against Carson Palmer. So Carson Palmer was quarterback in the Bengals, and it's a Monday night, and it's, I want to say it's late December. And of course, everybody's banged up, and I'm banged up and tired. And Carson Palmer comes up, and he's going no huddle, and he's checking. He's like, hey, let's go to Las Vegas. Check, check. No, let's go back. Let's go to New York. J-Lo, New York. Ready? And so he's calling all these audibles. And about the fourth play of the drive, it kind of dawned on me, wait, if he's saying a West Coast city, then he's running to the left. If he's saying an East Coast city, he's running to the right. And so when he says Vegas, it's run left. When he says New York, it's run right. And I was like, so all this credit that guys like you give these quarterbacks for all this great and being cerebral, here's the quarterback with the most simplistic audible system I've ever heard in my life.
Did you tell your teammates?
No, because I wanted to make every play. Man. At some point, you have to be selfish, because if I make more plays, that means I can ask for more money with my contract.
No, I get it. Okay, is the Jets' job when it's open a good job or a great job? Now that they don't get Trevor Lawrence.
It's a good job because I think Joe Douglas has done an outstanding job of drafting, and especially in the last draft class. I think there are a couple of jobs that are better if and when, and I'm not going to fire anybody, but there's a lot of speculation that the Chargers job is going to come open. That may be the best job on the market if it does come open because of the quarterback, because of what you have with Bosa and Ingram on defense. You have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Like, you have a team that, if the ball bounces their way, they could have won four or five more games this year.
I know.
I think the second best job that's going to be open, that is open, is the Houston Texans job because of the quarterback. Now, the only reason Houston is not first is because of they got so much work to do on defense. And, you know, when J.J. Watt's your best player on defense, he's a Hall of Fame player, three-time defensive player of the year. But let's face it, he's not what he was. And so I think those are the top two jobs. Now, if the Jets somehow finagle and get the number one pick, I would bump them back up. Because if you got Trevor Lawrence with all the draft capital that they have and Joe Douglas, who seems to be a really, really good judge of talent, then that job really becomes attractive.
I'm going to make you the Jets GM right now, and you're on the clock with the number two pick overall. What are you doing?
I am looking at my phone, seeing if the phone is going to ring. Because if the phone rings for somebody who wants a quarterback, then I'm going to deal. I'm going to keep Sam Darnold. I'm going to pick up the fifth-year option because Sam Darnold is not broken. Sam Darnold is a very good quarterback, and with the right offensive mind, I think Sam Darnold can be outstanding. Adam Gase has proven us. As a matter of fact, Adam Gase told us with his own words he failed Sam Darnold. So Sam Darnold is not broken. I just think the reason people were tying Trevor Lawrence to the Jets is because we all think that Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. But I'm keeping Sam Darnold. I'm trying to get a litany of picks. And if I can't get a litany of picks, then what I probably do, I probably take either Jamar Chase or the tackle. I'm going to take, when I say the tackle, Penei Sewell out of Oregon. I'm going to take somebody that's going to boost my offense to help Sam Darnold if I don't get a trade partner at number two.
We're talking to Booger McFarland. You can see him on ESPN's college football coverage and their NFL coverage as well. You know, you start to look at the playoff scenarios here, and we might have a team have, 11 wins and not make the playoffs here, which is pretty crazy. If you were going to let's look at the AFC, the number of teams, let's take out the Chiefs, the number of teams that you go, they can win the Super Bowl.
Buffalo is one, Tennessee is two, Indianapolis three. It sounds crazy not to say Pittsburgh, but how can you say Pittsburgh the way they've looked the last 3 weeks? And quite frankly, you know, I said this on our pregame show a couple of weeks ago. Pittsburgh has a softness problem. Like, they're very soft, especially on the offensive line. And, you know, they kind of got in an uproar when I said that. But then the head coach, Mike Tomlin, came out and said there was a lack of physicality. Ben Roethlisberger said there was a lack of physicality. It's a team that's trying to play an offense in which they're not familiar how to play. It's four or five wide. They're trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but they got a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger that, I mean, let's face it, he's on hole 16. He's getting ready to come down the 16th fairway, and it's like, hey, big fella, you ain't got long left. And he knows it, and everybody knows it. And for them to play and play at a high level, they're going to have to run the football, but they can't, Dan. And that's the issue. So, you know, my short list of teams after Kansas City would be, obviously, you know, Tennessee, Indy, Buffalo would probably be the three other than Kansas City that I would lean on.
Yeah, the thing with the Steelers, you know, and then Ben says he wants to come back. Who's more likely to be back with their team, Ben or Phillip Rivers?
More likely, Ben.
And Drew Brees.
Well, I believe Drew Brees is going to be your colleague and work for NBC, Peacock, whatever you want to call it. I think that's where he's going. I think Phillip wants to go coach high school football. That's why I think he signed a one-year deal. I think, you know, Big Ben's coming back, man. Big Ben's got $30 million that's sitting there that, I mean, it's kind of free money. Like, they're not going to cut him. He's a legend. He can kind of go cherry pick, kind of like some of the great basketball players do. He can average, you know, 10 points and three rebounds and get $25 million. So, I mean, if I were him, that's what I'd do.
But if you're the Steelers, do you want him back?
What's your alternative? Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges?
They're gonna get rid of those guys. But if you said that you could get Sam Darnold,
I think you ask Ben to retire if you could get Sam Darnold. because Sam Darnold can be your quarterback for 10 years. To me, Dan, here's the quarterback carousel. Watch this now.
Okay.
Let's just say somehow the Jets get the first pick. So now Sam Darnold is now being traded. Let's just say Sam Darnold is traded or he goes to Indy. Or maybe Sam Darnold goes to San Francisco because we know they're not necessarily sold on Jimmy. Where does Jimmy G go? Does Jimmy G go to New England? Okay. You see how one pick can change the entire outlook of this league because there could be a lot of quarterbacks on the move. What if Arthur Blank and the new coach decide we want to move away from Matt Ryan? I can see Matt Ryan going to San Francisco. Then where does Jimmy G go? So I think the quarterback carousel is going to be really interesting. And we thought last year was interesting. I think this offseason with the quarterbacks that could be on the move potentially is going to be way more intriguing than it was last year.
You think Cam is one and done in New England?
Yes, because I think Cam and New England both had a vested interest in this season. They both needed each other, and they both have failed. Cam Newton needed New England because he needed to prove that he could still be a high-level starting quarterback in the National Football League in hopes of getting a huge deal. He has not done that. He's still bouncing balls to receivers, overthrowing receivers. His best trait is his physicality, and you wonder how long that can last. New England needed to see, can Cam do it? Because we have to find the heir apparent to Tom Brady. And Josh McDaniel and Bill Belichick in a private moment will probably tell you that they weren't able to maximize and get the best out of Cam. Josh can't be who Josh wants to be with a guy who's limited as a passer. So I think they both failed each other.
Do you understand Sean Payton's fixation on Taysom Hill?
I do, because I think in Sean Payton's mind, he sees what a lot of these offensive coordinators have right now, a dual threat quarterback that can hurt you with his legs. The problem is Taysom hasn't gotten enough reps throwing the football. And the only way you get reps is, guess what? You got to put him in the game. And we didn't have a preseason this year, didn't have really an off season. And so Taysom Hill needs reps. To me, it's going to really come down to after, because I think Drew Brees is going to retire. When Drew Brees retires, I think Sean Payton is going to name Taysom Hill as starting quarterback. He's going to get an entire offseason, mini camp, training camp, preseason, if we do have a preseason. And he's going to give him every opportunity. And if he fails at that point, then he'll move on. But I do think he's invested a lot of time and effort into making Taysom Hill what his mind says Taysom can be, which is the second coming of Steve Young.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
That's what he tells everybody that, right?
Yeah, but he's not, because Steve has wonderful touch. Taysom wasn't a great passer in college. And it's not like you go, I wasn't very good in college as a passer, but I'm going to get better in the NFL as a passer. I mean, that
Josh Allen did.
Yeah, I think Josh had mechanics. I think he had some. And plus, if you saw the Wyoming roster and you saw the weather they played in, then I can at least go, okay. You know, a lot of it's decision making. A lot of it's that I got to throw a receiver open. In college, I can imagine Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State.
Right.
He didn't have to throw anybody open. Justin Fields, you know, like it's hard to really handicap and go, I don't know how good these guys are. And with Josh Allen, he probably is learning to throw, you know, guys open here, and he's done a great job this year.
And to your point, Dan, Josh Allen has gotten better. Mechanics, where they play a part. You know, you bring up Justin Fields, and I think people are going to be shocked when they really get into the Justin Fields tape, how similar he is to, yes, he's more athletic than Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Way more athletic. However, from a passing standpoint, he's going to resemble Haskins a lot. The anticipation is just a step slow. His ability to throw guys open is a step slow. I think Zach Wilson out of BYU may be the second quarterback taken, and I think a lot of people will be shocked by that because all along it's been Trevor or Justin. I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be Trevor, probably Zach Wilson, maybe even a Mac Jones behind that. I don't think Justin Fields is being helped based on when you look at how Dwayne Haskins is performing coming out of that same system.
What's in those cabinets behind you?
So the one over this shoulder, I got a lot of Apple products in there. So I got some extra, like some old iPads, iPhones, et cetera. this cabinet, I have extra checkbooks because I'm still old school. So I don't do everything by ACH or auto pay. Like, I still write checks. So I got checks in that cabinet. I got some vitamins up there because when I'm in the office, I forget to take my vitamins there up there. So this is kind of a multi-purpose cabinet.
Yeah, we got to do something in the background. I got to get some, you got to dress it up a little bit. There should be a picture of the one NFL touchdown that you had.
Yes. The problem is I was so out of breath. The only picture I have of that touchdown, literally my shirt is pulled up, like my guts hanging out. And I mean, seriously, because it was in Atlanta. It was sack calls, fumble, falling the ball in Atlanta against Michael Vick. And it was so funny. The only thing I thought about was I have to come right back on the field because I scored the touchdown and our defense is going back on the field. That's the mind of a defensive lineman. It's not celebrate. It's not do a TikTok on the logo. It's, hey, let's go get some water and get ready to come back on the field.
And you're trying to track down Michael Vick.
Exactly.
You know, Kyler Murray, I think, is quicker than Mike. I think Mike might be faster. Kyler Murray has that acceleration. He gets to a different gear, I think, quicker than anybody I've ever seen at that position.
Yes, I would agree with you, and he has to. He's 5'8", 5'9", whatever you want to call it. He's not 6 feet tall. So he's got to use his attributes to help him. And I think when he struggled over the last, couple of weeks, yeah, his ability or a team's ability to keep him in the pocket. So if I'm going against Kyler Murray, Dan, watch what the Patriots did to him. The Patriots didn't allow him outside the pocket. And it's very similar to Baker Mayfield. If you just keep Baker Mayfield in the confines of that pocket, he's going to struggle more times than not because these guys are not very big. Now, the coaching staffs know that. So what does Kevin Stefanski do? What does Cliff Kingsbury do? I'm going to get these guys outside the pocket on the edge where they can see. Imagine if you were trying to drive a car and you couldn't see, like you couldn't drive at all. So like these dudes have rare traits, but they got to be able to be put in position to use those traits.
It's great to talk to you. You brought it today. We appreciate it. I didn't expect anything less. Booger, part of ESPN's college football NFL coverage. Merry Christmas to you, bud. And we hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Always, man. Love you, pal. You take it easy. Tell the Danettes I said hello.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Maybe Frank Isola knows, you know, he can understand this better than I can. Frank's been covering the NBA for a long time. He's, of course, ESPN's Around the Horn and Pardon the Interruption contributor, SiriusXM NBA Radio. The show is the starting lineup, and he is your host. Where do you stand with the Brooklyn Nets this year, Frank?
By the way, you remember the player World Be Free, yeah, who was from Canarsie, Brooklyn. They say now that Kyrie's nickname is World Be Flat. I think that's a terrific nickname for him. The Nets look really good. And, you know, if you go back to the bubble last year, everybody says, well, you know, the Nets, all right, so they made the playoffs. They were going to get knocked out in the first round, which they did. But what last year meant for the development of guys like Caris LeVert, obviously Jared Allen, Joe Harris, and now you add Kyrie Irving healthy, but more importantly, Kevin Durant. You know how this works, Dan. We haven't seen Durant, 560 days. And it's not that you forgot that he's a great player, but when you see him out there and you're thinking, man, when this guy is right, it's really LeBron and then Kevin Durant. Maybe some people think that Kevin Durant is a better player, certainly a terrific offensive player. If he's going to play like this and he's going to stay healthy, the Nets will be a tough team to beat 4 out of 7 times in the playoffs.
I'm a little bit more encouraged because you have Kevin Durant there, because when Kyrie went to Boston, we said the same thing about the Celtics. Yep. Boy, they grew up in the playoffs. Now you put Kyrie in there. Well, Kyrie didn't help them get any better, and you know, they were happy to see him leave. I think having Durant there almost as a sounding board, or he can whisper in his ear, hey, let's get back, you know, it's you and me here together. Because they can make something great happen here. I just think it's a really delicate mix of either really good or really bad here, Frank.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's why after one game, it doesn't really matter what guys say. And, you know, we're all just like the first weekend of the NFL season. We always overreact to that first game. We're going to do that with the Nets against the Warriors team that's still trying to figure things out. But, you know, when Kyrie was in Cleveland, he had LeBron. So you're playing with, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time. So you're the number two guy there. That was perfect for him. In Boston, they needed him to be the number one guy. And I think he struggled with that. Now with Kevin Durant, you know, Durant, when he was on Golden State, he's surrounded by Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. They were okay with him being the guy. As long as Kyrie Irving is okay being that so-called Robin to Batman, it'll work out, because we know this from Kevin Durant. He's good with an ensemble cast. He had an ensemble cast in Oklahoma City where he was the number one guy. They go to the finals. Obviously, what they did in Golden State was tremendous. Think about this. Kevin Durant played 10 finals games with the Golden State Warriors. They were 9-1 in those games. That's how good Kevin Durant is. So and what I love about Durant, you listen to him now, except for when Charles Barkley asked him a question last night. He wanted no part of that, which was pretty funny. But for the most part, Durant has been very upbeat. His mood seems to change. I think now that he's playing basketball again, I think he wants to get back to that level. Not only as a great player, but as a champion. I think he's shooting for what LeBron did last season. I just love his attitude. He seems like he has the joy back in playing basketball.
Convince me the Clippers could be better this year by what they did in the offseason.
I mean, you know, Luke Kennard got crazy money. He's a good playmaker. Serge Ibaka, who disappeared for a couple of years, and then the last two or three years with Toronto has been nothing short of outstanding. So I think he'll help. And
you could have said, Frank, you could have said, no, I can't convince you that you're going to be. I would give you that out.
Well, it's funny, right? So Charles Barkley interviews, he had a great question for Paul George last night when he asked him about getting preferential treatment. Let's face it, in every line of work, the stars get preferential treatment. Your crew talks about it all the time.
Absolutely.
You get treated differently than everybody because you're the big star. We know how it works.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when he brought up the fact, because Paul George admitted, he said, well, you know, I know what it takes. So, yeah, sure, that's how it works. But the guys who had an issue with that, that's no longer a problem. To me, he was clearly referring to Montrezl Harrell, who's no longer on the team. There were chemistry issues. They didn't want to be in the bubble last year. And I think Lou Williams proved that when he went to Magic City just to get the wings, as you know. Mm-hmm. That's all he was there for, was the wings. Yeah. So there were chemistry issues. They need Kawhi to play at a different level. If LeBron had lost a 3-1 series lead to Denver the way that Kawhi did, we'd be killing LeBron. Kawhi kind of got a bit of a pass last year, which he didn't deserve. He needed to play better.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Kawhi Leonard the way they care about LeBron. I mean, LeBron is polarizing because for a variety of reasons. But I think the bottom line is people don't want him infringing on Michael Jordan's territory. Like, no matter what he does, nope, he's not going to get there. There's always going to be the yeah, but with LeBron James. Kawhi, we just sort of go, you know, hey, Kawhi, he's a great two-way player. He shows up in the playoffs. Okay. There's nothing else about him. He's not must-see TV.
Yeah, and you're right. So everybody loves player empowerment. We've talked about this before. Yeah, player empowerment is great for the player because when things go wrong, they're never blamed. Doc Rivers got blamed in L.A. Look what James Harden is pulling right now at the Houston Rockets. So Kawhi leaves Toronto, goes to the Clippers. You know, they move heaven and earth to bring in his buddy Paul George. So now Kawhi Leonard is making demands. They trade all those assets to get Paul George. Look at the way that Paul George played in the bubble. Now, to his credit, he got $225 million extension. He was actually failing up in this case. But nobody said to Kawhi Leonard, hang on a second. You're the one that made us go out and get Paul George. He didn't show up in those last three games against Denver. You weren't very good in a game seven. You know who we'll blame? Let's blame Doc Rivers. We'll ship him out.
Talking to Frank Isola, the SiriusXM NBA radio show is called The Starting Lineup. He's the host. He's obviously a contributor to Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption. You know, I watched the Lakers last night, and I wasn't going to read anything into it. I just wanted to see substitutions. I wanted to see, you know, certain guys were, you know, play with certain players. I didn't take anything away from it. Am I being naive by not taking anything away from that loss against the Clippers?
Well, I know I put a lot into last year's opening night when the Clippers beat them, and I thought the Clippers would give them a great run, and they won the Staples Center championship. The problem is the Lakers won the world championship. And I think, you know, for the Lakers, not having Rondo, he was huge, especially during the playoffs. And even Dwight Howard, you know, a pivotal moment in the NBA Finals was that hard foul that Dwight had on Bam Adebayo, which knocked Bam out for a game and injured him for the rest of the series. I don't really ever remember Dwight really being that physical, but he knocked Bam Adebayo for a loop, and we really never saw him again. The key will be LeBron James. And we know that LeBron will be ready by the end of the season, but can he stay healthy? So last night, LeBron rolling his ankle. We know that on December 30th, he's going to turn 36 years old. So all that stuff starts to add up, but I still have a lot of faith in him. You know, he's when he's at his best, he looks like he's about 28 years old, not necessarily 36. So I'm not going to jump to conclusions on the Lakers after one game.
ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon is reporting. A source says the Rockets are working with NBA office officials to review video of James Harden at a strip club. If the video circulating on social media is verified to be recent, it's a violation of the league's COVID protocols, which would put Harden's availability for tonight's opener in jeopardy.
It's disgraceful. It really is. And here's the issue that you have with Harden. He's another guy. I don't want Chris Paul on the team bringing Russell Westbrook. Then that falls apart. Now that it, you know, the team looks like it's moving, trending toward not being a playoff team, he says, well, now I want to be traded. Well, hang on a second. You were the one that was making all the calls. Now, when you don't like things, now you say that you want to be out of here. You don't show up for practice. So Steven Silas finally gets a head coaching job after about 20 years as an assistant. And look what James Harden does with this guy. If I were Steven Silas, I'd call up Mark Cuban and say, can I have my old job back in Dallas? It's a lot less stressful being an assistant coach in Dallas than running the Houston Rockets. At some point, the league needs to step in. James Harden, if this turns out to be true, I think he should be suspended because, Dan, he's holding the organization hostage, number one. Yeah. Number two, with all this stuff that he's been pulling, he's hurting his trade value, which is also hurting the Houston Rockets. It'll eventually work out for James Harden. I'm not so sure it's going to work out for the Houston Rockets.
One final thing, and I've been on this topic on and off for the last couple of years. We love lists. Lists drive me crazy. But when we put out the top 10 basketball players of all time, it feels like there should be a line of demarcation that starts 1970 on.
Yeah.
Because Wilt, to me, should be Babe Ruth, but he's not allowed to be Babe Ruth. We discredit those stats for some reason. Bill Russell, the greatest winner in team sports history, but not one of the top 10 players as far as, you know, stats and everything that he did. Love what he did. But he's not in there. Do I leave Oscar Robertson in there? Do I leave Jerry West in there? At some point, we're going to have a top 10 list where Karl Malone is not in there. Larry Bird might not be in there.
Yeah.
Wilt's not going to be in there. I don't know how you rank players because Steph Curry, is he going to be a top 10 player of all time?
Yeah.
Is Kevin Durant going to be a top 10 player of all time?
Yeah, I think we're both becoming that guy.
You got to take people out.
We're becoming that guy where now we have to defend Larry Bird in terms of being a top 10 player. You should get Sonny Hill, Mr. Philadelphia Basketball, to tell you some stories about Will Chamberlain. I mean, come on. At a time when everyone was allowed to do this, Dan, the guy averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds. If an NBA player did that for a week, people would say you should probably build a statue for the guy. So that was 50 and 25 for one season. Then when you go look at Michael Jordan, and what I love about Jordan, go look at the games played. Like, to the players, even of the 80s and the 90s, it was a badge of honor to be playing 82 games a season.
Yeah.
Now, if you play 82 games, you're looked at as you're some kind of weirdo. Well, clearly you have no cachet in the league because why would you be playing all the time? The idea isn't to play all the time. But I think you're right. As time goes on, we're going to forget some of these great players. And the game was different. It's now a three-point shooting game. You know, touch fouls get called all the time. You know, in the 80s and 90s, it was all-out warfare. I looked up something the other day where, you know, there was a fight between Rick Mahorn and Charles Oakley. I think it was back in like 85 or 86. They both got fined about $2,500. Mahorn did get one game for the fight. So you weren't even penalized for fighting back in the day like you are today. To the league's credit, they basically legislated fighting out of the league, but it's just so different. The game's not as physical, so everyone's scoring averages are up.
Great to talk to you. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for contributing to the program this entire year. We appreciate it, Frank.
Thanks, Dan. You look great. Great sweater.
Thank you, buddy. Frank Isola. Frank knows fashion. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Okay, are you ready with the Christmas?
Just read them quickly, or how do you want me to handle
it? It's your moment here. It's your moment. It's so important to you.
It's important. Okay, here we go. Rakim Christmas, Mary Decker Slaney, retired American middle distance runner, in case you're wondering who that is. Martin St. Louis, Chestnut McLaughlin. Beth Lehem Potter, British Olympic triathlete. Jack Snow.
Wait a minute, how many names do you have? Because you're going really fast.
I got like 70. That's why I'm going fast. I want to get them in. Dave Frost, former Angels pitcher. Chili Davis, Hugh Freeze. Nativity Thurmond, Kyle Rudolph. Rob Reindeer. Donner Mattingly. Joy Fawcett, retired American soccer player. Joy Fawcett. Julio Jones. Can I get away with that? Julio Jones.
Just keep moving.
Darius Slay. Cole Beasley. Ugly Smith Sweater. Michael Bublé Gabbert. Adam Silver Bells, or Silver and Gold. James White Christmas. Jimmy Clausen. Chimney Connors. That was a tricky one. Tennis player Jimmy Connors. Gary Reefsons, if I had a lisp.
No, Gary Reefsons. No, that's a former Giant linebacker, Gary Reefsons.
Manger Harris. Instead of Major Harris, Manger Harris. Star of David Robinson. Julius Peppersmint. John Hanukkah, U.S. pro golfer John Han. You familiar with him? John Hanukkah. Okay. Le'Veon Bell. D'Angelo Hall. Joe Hornament. Sterling Shepard, UConn Cornelius Bennett. You know who UConn Cornelius was, right? From the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the guy that was looking for the silver and gold. UConn Cornelius. Okay. Antonio Parson Brown.
You got 20 seconds.
Andy Midnight Mastersmith. Ron Eggnongloff. Raphael Landis Toy. St. Nick Foles. Randy Cross. Rick Upchurch. Priest Holmes. Jesus Shuttlesworth. Lynn Swan. Goose Gossage. Golden Tate. Larry Bird. I got to give you a few more hits.
Six.
Denny John McClain.
Four.
Ralphie Sampson.
Three.
Riddick Bowe.
Two.
Jacob Marley DeGrom.
One.
Jacob Marley DeGrom.
Is it getting better or getting worse?
A few other ones
No. You lead with your big ones there, and there's no leftovers here.
No leftovers.
Unlike a Meat Friday, there's no leftovers here. You know what? Save them for next year. Because I'm sure they won't be relevant then either.
Can I just give you two more quick ones?
No.
Two quick ones. Carl Anthony coming to Towns and Alex Grinch. Who's Alex Grinch? The Oklahoma Sooners defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch. That's his name.
All righty. Thank you, Todd.
Alex Grinch.
Thank you, Todd. Barry in Long Island. Hey, Barry, top that.
Hey, Merry Christmas, fellas. I do happen to have a couple that Todd missed.
Okay.
There's a... Wade Nogg, Sled Williams, Jay Cutlery, you have to carve your turkey there, Mary Povich,
turkey,
Reese Hernandez, JoJo, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and we have our first team. NHL is coming back. The New York Rangers. Happy
Thank
holidays.
You, Barry. Thank you, Barry.
I think I won that.
No, you did. You were better than Barry.
In quantity and quality.
And Barry is probably, you know, going to hate himself now.
He's going to have to lick his wounds.
Yes,
there,
he
in
is.
Last couple of minutes.
Ryan in Honolulu, your good friend from Hawaii.
My boy.
Yes, Ryan.
Hello, ho, ho, ha, Dan. Merry Christmas. All right. So what's going on today? Not much, or?
No, not much, Ryan.
All right.
Let's go. Speed it up.
All right. We got NFL insider Ian Rappaprezent, a heavyweight champ, Evander Holy Knight. We got some soccer ones here. A Neymar in Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, my God.
Zlatan. Ebenezer Scrooge.
No.
That's not acceptable.
No way.
If I would have said that.
No. I did. I had to cut him short, Todd.
He was cutting him shorter.
No way, man. He crushed. Ian Rappaprezent was great.
I do like that one.
That one and
Zlatan. Him and Manger. What was it?
Something about him and Manger.
Wait,
Ryan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I got some more, guys.
No. Give me the Zlatan again.
Zlatan. Ebenezer Scrooge.
No. Why are you laughing at that? And I love Ryan, but you can't believe you guys are laughing.
Oh, this is killing
that.
Todd.
What are you laughing at? It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. What's funny about it?
Go ahead, Ryan.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
All right. I got Chiefs coordinator Eric down the chimney. I have Tampa Bay Rays superstar Berandi Eggnog's Arena. We've got...
I would have stopped with Zlatan. No, thank you, Ryan. I would stop with Zlatan.
Ian Rappaport. That's the one you should have got out on that one.
That's pretty good.
I like it a lot.
Zlatan?
No.
Nazer Scrooge?
I'm insulted if you guys laughed at that.
John in New Zealand. Hey, John, good to have you back. How's New Zealand?
Good day, mate. I think I might love Barry in Long Island, but I like the men in Honolulu.
Ryan in Honolulu. Ryan did okay. But, John, thank you for calling in. Thanks for all your support this year, and hope things are well there. Todd just sent me a limerick about Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, sure. Why not? No. Yeah. Go ahead. Dwayne Haskins went to a strip club, didn't have a mask on. And Todd, known for stealing limericks, and he's got one.
This one I didn't steal. Okay. Teammates trust he'll have to regain. Not considering others is kind of vain. Do we really need to ask if you're wearing a mask? Can't stop him from making it rain.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John.
Okay. Look, that was workable.
Do you have something final, you guys, to say to the audience? Anything? I know I've been the one that has been saying a lot of things there. So then, okay. So nobody cares about
you. Kind of said it.
Oh, okay.
We can't top the.
Yes, McLevin.
I looked it up. Raheem Christmas last played in the NBA in 2016, and he's in New Zealand now.
Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program, Todd? I'll start with you. What did you learn today?
Okay, your opinion of last night's NBA results. It's just one game. It doesn't mean anything. Easy with the overreaction.
Yeah, that's the way I feel, McLevin.
You and Todd are best friends.
Yeah, we are, but that'll quickly end after today's
show.
Wow,
we were hanging on the tent a little while.
Seton O'Connor.
Ryan in Honolulu's got a real future.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Paulie?
The winter of Toddler and DP. There should be a 30 for 30 on the past 3 weeks.
What did I learn today, Todd?
After getting that new deal with the Clippers, Frank Isola says Paul George found a way to fail up. Ouch.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.